Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
Well, good morning. Sincerely hope that you had a great week. We're about ready to do a in-house recording this morning. And we start by sharing the Psalm 90, verse 14 and 17, as we do every Sunday and also throughout the week. And we say, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we might sing for joy and be glad all of our days. And then verse 17 says, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Throughout this year of 2016, as you recall, the Lord says that 2016 is going to be a year of grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. And that will continue to unfold. Our platform verses for the message this morning is Exodus chapter 33, verse 18 and 20, and then Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 20. And the Lord said, and Moses said to the Lord, please show me your glory. Then the Lord said, I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious to, and I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And then Paul says to the church at Ephesus, my prayer is that understanding will come, will flood your heart, and that you will understand the hope that was given to you when God chose you. Then you will discover the glorious blessings that will be yours together with all of God's people. I want you to know, he continues, about the great and mighty power that God has for us followers. It is the same wonderful power he used when he raised Christ from death and let him sit at the right hand in heaven. Now everybody say together, Lord, show us your glory. Lord, show us your glory. So Father, we thank you this morning that as we come around your word, as we understand your desire to share with us what the Spirit would say to the church, and we're looking forward to what you would have for us in this very important times and very important season. As we said, and as we've been teaching on, the Word of God says that we are a part of the whole process here. And I said that in the bottom line for 2016 is that the Lord needs you. With all that's changing on in society today and the things that we see, we just heard today that there is a massive persecution that is the elevation of almost 38% of persecution of Christians in this nation and around the world. And we've been talking about what's going on overseas when just the outright, just the destruction of Christianity, or the attempt to, of course we know that it won't work, but the attempt to eliminate Christianity and all the things that are going on in society today with the moral barriers just being absolutely destroyed, so that there are no barriers. The Lord is, and this is so very important, and I underline it again, that the Lord is preparing and equipping his church for the unfolding plan of revival that we see. The essentials for ministries we have been looking, because as I said, it's a preparation time. He's getting the church ready. Scripture says when we begin to see these things, know that the time is near. And as we see the incredible deterioration, as I said, of our moral compasses and our the structures, we recognize that God is saying that the enemy is moving and very powerfully. And of course it says in the end times that the enemy is going to come in, and that he's going to come in as a deceiver and even deceive the elect, if that were possible. Turn to somebody and say, you're the elect. Now, it's my understanding, and I share this pretty strongly, that the reason why, let's just take America, because I want to deal with our nation, which has been a major platform for the release of the gospel throughout the world, through missionaries, through funding of churches, and all kinds of all manners. And that's why the Lord has blessed America, the United States, because we stood as allies with Israel, and the Word of God says that Israel is His people, and whoever honors Israel, God will honor. And we have stood up until this time in history, the history of the United States, with Israel as an ally with them. And in the last recent years, there has been a turning away from Israel, and with that, God's anointing or God's provision of protection has been lifted from this nation. And we can see it in the breakdown of the family, the redefinition of things that we hold dear, the putting aside of God's word, in fact, even declaring that it's not even allowed to be spoken, when other religions, we make allowance for them, but not for the Christian. Now, let me share something very important with you. All these things that we're seeing going on, you know, we fight not against the flesh, but against principalities and powers and dominions. That's what it says in God's word. And we cannot defeat what's going on spiritually in the flesh, even though there's avenues that we can take in terms of going, voting and letting our voice be heard. But let me just go back to the foundational understanding here. We would agree that the enemy and the influence and the power of the enemy has risen. That's what Scripture says. In the last days, the enemy is going to come in like a flood. But the Lord is going to raise up a standard of righteousness. So one of the things that stirs within my heart, first of all, this is not bad news, it's good news. Because we've read the end of the book. We know what is happening. We know what happens at the end. But we also recognize that when we see these things, as the power of the enemy increases, God says the anointing is going to be greater upon the church. Now I believe that the reason for the state of this country, this nation of America, I don't put it on the people, the deterioration process of mankind. When I say, who has been given spiritual authority in this nation? Who are the ones that is supposed to check the moving forward of the enemy? Who are the ones that are literally to resist and bind him from moving through, and what we're seeing today as he is increasing with influence? I believe very strongly that it's the church. The church has been given authority over the powers of the enemy to bind and to loose, to resist and to restrict. And if that is the case, then it's the church. The body of Jesus Christ. We are the ones. We are the ones that have let down and set aside, or at least not availing ourselves of that anointing that God has given to us to bring a check to the rise of the enemy. And when there is a void, the enemy is going to fill it. And as I said, I have to take responsibility. We have to take responsibility that we have not assumed our position in providing that spiritual authority over the powers of the enemy. And the church basically has been caught up in just existing. We've been caught up in the things of the world, trying to make it through and whatever, and allowing the world to redefine what are the priorities. And we see what's happening. And we've seen the deterioration and even the numbers that are going down in terms of the active involvement in Christianity. And I know that it grieves God's heart. And I know that there's nothing more a greater tool for the enemy than a powerless Christian or a powerless church. Because the world looks at us and they say, you don't have any authority. You're not causing anything to happen through the spiritual anointing that you say you have. And essentially what's happening is the church has pulled back. And the Christian has been, we're getting caught up in the incorrect priorities, because we've been created here on earth to be his witness, to establish the kingdom of God. As I've said before, we're not taking nice houses and nice jobs or widgets that we've made to heaven. We're not going to be judged for sin or for what, in a sense, what we've made or what we've accomplished in terms of what man would evaluate. We're going to take to heaven what we have done to establish the kingdom of God. That's what the Christian is going to be judged. What have you done with what I've given you? And when we realign our focus that our priority is to establish the kingdom of God, then whatever aspect that you find yourself in, whether it's an engineer, whether it be a mechanic, whether any aspect of life, that becomes the mechanism and the channel through which we do our ministry. And God says, "You seek me first and my righteousness." And it says that all things will be added. All things will be added. Now, one of the things that we need to recognize here, as we're seeing the redefinition of the moral principles and the redefinition of the family and all of that we see that is unfolding today, clearly that the enemy is just running roughshod, and again focusing on this nation, that we're seeing the Christian principles in which this nation was built upon are being set aside. The society is being redefined. The structure of society is being redefined, and there's no moral absolutes. There's essentially, it's everybody for themselves. And one of the things, as I said, we fight not against the flesh. Now, I think I mentioned that there are things that we are to do in the flesh. We're to vote. We are to present ourselves as Christians correctly, but the battles that we're dealing with is not a battle in the flesh. It's a spiritual battle. And as I mentioned, when we do not assume our positions, then in our spiritual calling, then the enemy is free to be able to manifest himself in the destruction of society. And we see the rebelliousness of the lack of acknowledgement of authority, the restructuring, as I said, of the family, and all manners of things. Now, you've heard me say, if you've listened to any of my message or attended our services, that this is not bad news. It's good news. Because we know, Scripture says, as I said, we win. We know the end. God knows the end from the beginning. Not the beginning, not only the beginning from the end from the beginning. He knows exactly how to deal with the confrontation of the enemy who is trying to destroy, rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life, and that life more abundant. And so what's going to need to happen is that I believe that at least the power of the Lord will come up to the equivalent, and I say this tongue in cheek, to the power of the enemy. At least that level. But of course we know we're not here just to exist with the enemy. It's not the yin and the yang. We have been called to defeat the powers of the enemy. We are to take that authority that we've been given as the church to neutralize, to stop forward movement, to set the captive free. And one of the things that excites me is the Lord saying, when you see these things, when you see the enemy coming in like a flood, I'm going to add something. I'm going to raise up a standard of righteousness that will stop the flood of the enemy. Dam it up so it cannot increase. Now, and to me, that's exciting, because the degree and the level of the powers of the enemy are clearly, as I've said, clearly manifesting himself. If you look back 5, 8, 10 years ago, you come back to another generation, none of this could have even been thought of in our wildest imagination. But it is. And if we leave it there, we go into despair and discouragement and come quickly, Lord Jesus, take me home. But that's not what we're here for. Because God's saying, I'm going to add a new anointing. And that anointing is for equipping the church for the unfolding plan of this coming revival. There's going to be a release. He's preparing the church and equipping the church for the unfolding plan for revival. And I believe that revival is going to be the revival of evangelism. And we're going to be talking more about that. But we have been looking at the anointing, and the definition of the anointing, that's what the Lord is going, he's going to raise up. There's going to be a release of the anointing that enables us to move beyond our abilities so we can step in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've looked at this whole understanding. We've been looking at this area of the anointing, which is, again, the empowering to move beyond our abilities, to be able to deal with the situations and to deal through authority with the powers of the enemy. And we've been looking at this area of the anointing that's coming in order to facilitate the next move of the Lord. And we've looked at the purpose of the anointing, and why it's so important for the days ahead. We've also looked at keys to receiving the anointing, why the Lord chose this method to manifest His presence. We've looked at also the result of the anointing and what is to be our response once we have received. What's to be our response here for the anointing in 2016? And then last time, we began how to release the anointing through your ministry. How to release the anointing through your ministry. And this is part two of the message. Part one is on our website. So let me refresh you as to what we looked at and where we're going with this. As I said before, every Christian has a calling, he has a ministry, and a destiny. Your calling is in direct connection to your ministry. Your ministry is connected to your destiny. All three of these work together. And the understanding of destiny, when the Lord revealed that to me, was such an important part of my ministry to those that I shepherd and those that I teach. Because I believe very strongly that every Christian, every person, has been created by God with a purpose and a plan that He created them for. If you can understand that. We weren't created and just thrown out into the world and say, do the best you can. The Lord said in Scripture, in Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. I know those plans. And I've created you to realize those plans. Which is an incredible sin. Of course, when I look at my sons or my grandkids, I see an incredible destiny that they have. I see the uniqueness and the qualities that God created within them. And then, as a parent and as a grandparent, as their pastor, I go about doing everything I possibly can to help them to realize that destiny. And of course, it's far different from God's help, who is able to accomplish that destiny that He created. The wonderful thing about the Lord, He will never give us, He never require of us something that He doesn't give us the ability to do. And so, one thing that we're understanding, our destiny as we pursue our destiny is what brings us life, it what brings fulfillment, what brings satisfaction. We're moving in the right direction, and we're moving through, and there's an incredible sense of, as I said, satisfaction of knowing, and that as we move forward, confidence begins to build up that God says, He who has begun a good thing in you shall complete it. But one of the aspects that we have to understand that's very important is that there is a calling and a ministry. Each Christian has a calling, and we describe that. And we also have a ministry. And in order for our destiny to be realized, that calling and that ministry have to be activated. We can't arrive at our destiny without functioning in our calling and in our ministry. And what's happened so sadly to so many Christians is they set aside their calling, or they're not using, they're not walking or living in their calling. And that the ministry, the outworking of their calling, which is ministry, and I'll talk about in just a moment, what's happening is that's being either set aside or not operating, not functioning in. And what happens, we can't move forward in our destiny without these aspects of our life manifesting themselves. And that's, I believe, very much for the United States, for this nation. God has a destiny for America, for the United States. He established it from the beginning that we were called, just like the nation of Israel, and which is very important because we have been allies to Israel. God created Israel with a destiny. And God says, anyone who blesses Israel, I will bless. And up until recently, very recently, we, America, the United States, have stood with Israel. And until recently, there's been a verbiage that says we are allies, but the actions have not been there. And what's happening is God is lifting his anointing. He's lifting his favor from on this nation. Because we're not functioning in our calling and in our ministry, not just to Israel, but to the world. So consequently, as I said, we can't see our destiny realized unless we're functioning in those other aspects, very important aspects. Now, with that, let's talk about ministry. Let me underline again so that there's that refreshment of understanding. Ministry. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, and he told them to go into the world and share the good news to everyone. I define it, and I've given this definition, that ministry is the process and action of releasing the anointing using gifts, talents, calling from God to afford others growth. Everybody say others. Growth, assistance, and aid in all areas of life, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Many people say to me over the years that I know that I'm supposed to be a witness on earth, and I know that the anointing of God has been given to me for that purpose. And I know that my destiny is related to my ministry. I desire to be used by God and to be led by His Holy Spirit. I want to see my ministry for the Lord really, really help people. And I want to be a doer of the word. But what does that mean? And how does that happen? Well, that's a good question. Let me quickly go through the negative and the positive side. Let's start with the negative first. Many Christians, they say, we get so caught up in our own problems. How can I focus on other people if I have so many challenges of my own? Or not living in that confident faith. I don't know if I can believe God to be able to help others. I'm just trying to hang in there myself. Or looking inward and not outward. I know there's hurting people, but I have my needs too. Not living in the victory that God has intended. I need to have my problems resolved before I can minister to others. And the results? is allowing circumstances to dictate your ministry and your effectiveness. And the results is that ministry is neutralized. Now, in talking about ministry, I said, you know that I like to sort of dumb it down, make it as easy, as understandable as possible. And Ministry 101, there's three keys that I've added a fourth one, so we'll just say four keys. Over the years, the simplistic understanding of ministry, and as I said, I call it 101, is act, feel, say. Remember those three words, you got it made. Act, feel, say. What would Jesus act like? What would he feel like inside? And then what would he say? And that right there is the answer to every area of ministry. And of course, that assumed that you have an understanding of the loving, caring, compassionate God who gave us Jesus Christ in the Gospels and to show us how he ministered, how he dealt with, how he gave himself, how he was used powerfully by God. Then I added the fourth one. Act, feel, say, do. Ministry is doing what Jesus did. He healed people. He set people free. He restored people. He offered salvation to them. And he shared the love of God. The love of God. God's love and desire to reconnect with his creation. Act, feel, say, do. And, you know, it's pretty simple, or a lot easier when we're not trying to make this complicated. Ministry 102 is to live my life, to live our lives, where Jesus will be seen, Jesus will be heard, Jesus will be followed, and Jesus will be glorified. Very simple when you understand the principle. Many people say, but what does this mean? What does this area of mean? And I want to continue this morning. In part two, as I said, how to release the anointing and minister to others. How to release your anointing and minister to others. Now that we understand that we have that, what is our ministry, which is the manifestation to others? We don't contain God. You use it or you lose it. God brought Jesus down here not to be served, but to serve. And when our understanding becomes, Lord, I know that you're going to meet my needs, my family's needs, the situations that I face in life, then I'm asking, with that anointing that you've given to me, let me be your hand extended. So I'm going to go through, again, part two. Let me run through the few that we started with. How to release the anointing and minister to others. First of all, and you can go back and listen to number one where I elaborated, part one, where I elaborated on. The first thing we need to do is to recognize who we are in Christ. What God says about you. For now, if we're children, Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says that if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says, and you have been given the fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Ephesians chapter 2, 6 through 10 says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's destiny, by the way. so we understand who we are and that position of authority. To recognize that I am the example of Jesus Christ on earth. I'm a co-heir with him. That's where I get the, it's not what I say, it's not what they say, it's what he says. The second point we looked at was to ask for that special anointing for ministry. Your uniqueness in Christ qualifies you to move in the supernatural. You've been given permission to make the impossible possible. Lord, I have this situation in my work, or I have my situation, this situation in the family, or I see Bob has come to me, and I asked, or I'm seeing the situation in Bob's life, or in the Smith family, or the situation here in our nation, or whatever that situation that God's put on your heart. Lord, I ask you to help me minister. I ask for the anointing to be able to minister, to help set John free, or to release him. Father, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. You have called me to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, Lord, I'm asking for that provision to be able to extend the kingdom and, as I said, at times, set the captive free. Specific ministry. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me because he anointed me. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking about you too. The next area that we looked at is acknowledged by faith that the anointing that you have been given. After you ask, we always, when we ask according to God's will, then we come back and say, thank you, Lord, for the answers to my prayers. Thank you that I can walk in that anointing. I receive the anointing to effectively minister. Scripture says, if I give you the keys of the kingdom in Matthew 16:19, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Mark 16, and says that, verse 17 says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. The faith, acknowledged by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The next thing and this is to ask the person what area of need that they need help from God for. I tell the story, so often we just make general statements or general prayers. I tell the story of Dr. Cho, who was who's pastor of one of the largest churches in the world, and he had asked as a young man, there's a calling on his life, and this was he's in Seoul, Korea, by the way, million people, 65,000 home groups, something that just incomprehensible. Imagine the anointing to be able to have that position. He had, when he was first called in Korea, he did not have a tent, did not have a place to minister as a young man. He went from location to location ministering. And finally he said, Lord, I need a bicycle. It takes me too long to walk. I need a bicycle. And every day he would pray. And after he'd go to the next town, Lord, I need a bicycle. I need a bicycle. And day after day after day after day, and week after week even, he said, Lord, if you called me to the ministry, you've called me to do, I need a bicycle. Why can't you provide a bicycle for me? Everything is possible to you, Lord. And he was in prayer one evening, and the Lord said to him, he asked the Lord, why haven't you given me a bicycle? Is there something wrong? He said, no, son, reason I haven't given you a bicycle is because you haven't been specific. I remember him saying, specific. You haven't been specific. And he went, oh my, he was teaching him something, by the way. He said, son, what kind of bicycle do you want? And he said, I want an American bicycle. And within a couple days, miraculously, he got it. And that's a nice story. It's truth. It was truthful. But it was underlining the fact that, you know, when we pray for specific things, God, what is the situation that I need here? Or God, I need this particular area. Or John needs this particular thing. Instead of, Lord, John, just pray. I'm asking you to meet God's John's needs. Or this particular job situation, or my employees, or my employer, or whatever it might be. My family, my kid. Lord, I'm asking that you would release this provision. Often it begins with a general request, but then the Holy Spirit will reveal more. So we need to ask the person, what area of need can I pray for you for? I tell them that, but I tell them, I'll pray for you, but then you have to promise me to come back and tell me when God, when you receive the answer to prayer. The next thing is, first, and very important, is to lead that person into a personal relationship with the Lord. To bring them into a place where they're understanding that it is God's meeting their needs. And he wants, most of all, more than just meeting their needs, is to have them in relationship with him. And if you need a prayer of leading that person, then you can look back at last week's message, which was Easter, and you will see the prayer as I prayed for the congregation, as I prayed for those online, and it outlines a perfect prayer, which we call the sinner's prayer, that acknowledging Jesus Christ in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, or 9, verse 10, that if we accept Jesus Christ, we believe that he was raised from the dead, that he died for our sin, that he's Almighty God, then we will have life. So listen to that prayer. Listen to that prayer, and it'll give you the example of how to do it. Often, first of all, Jesus meets their physical needs. Often when people are hurting or in need, they are open to receive Christ as Savior. Come to me, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. John chapter 6, verse 37 says, whoever comes to me, I will in no way turn away. See, that's the whole purpose. The whole purpose is to bring people into that relationship with Jesus Christ. Then they receive the Holy Spirit. And then the journey begins where we help them as God leads us, discipling them so that they become agents of the Lord. But there's an awesome thing that happens when that revelation comes into them that God loves them, just like you, who have found out how much God loves us and how much he desires that to meet our needs, but also enable us to accomplish that destiny, which is part of our ministry. So we lead them into the relationship with Christ. In that process, then you call upon the gifts of the Holy Spirit and God's power to be able to release them. Lord, I'm asking right now for the gift and the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit, whatever their need might be. Lord, this person needs to be set free. Lord, I'm calling to you in the name of Jesus. I loose this person from the addictions, from depression, from fear, from anxiety. Lord, this person is sick. I'm praying right now, Lord, I release healing. Lord, heal this person in Jesus' name. This marriage is going through divorce. I bind the spirit of the enemy that's trying to manipulate this or to try to cause it to end in divorce or separation. Lord, my son, my daughter, my boss, my neighbor, my friend, I'm asking that the release of that need that is part of your character, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the gift of healing, discerning of spirits, the gift of miracles, that's part of the Holy Spirit that resides within us. And the Holy Spirit has those gifts. God adds the anointing, and the anointing is the manifestation of the power of God that sets the captive free. Sometimes it happens right away. Sometimes you're part of the process. And sometimes what we do is we hand the person that fishing pole and say, now, go fish. So calling upon the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then we bind the power of the enemy in every area, every form of robbery. To bind literally means to stop, to reset. Whenever we see the enemy manifesting himself in a person's life and through the spirit of fear, depression, discouragement, addictions, whatever the malady is in mankind, the Holy Spirit can give us discernment. This person is walking angry all the time. And the Holy Spirit says, this person is walking in fear and self-preservation and realizing that they can't protect themselves. All kinds of things. And what we do is we speak directly to that area. I come against you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, spirit of fear, spirit of alcoholism, of addictions. I come against that spirit of robbery, a spirit of divorce, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 16:19 says, again, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In Matthew 16:17, and these signs shall accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. Now this is a very important thing for us to understand. If you look at these points and you walk through, you, now it's practicing, it's applying the process, being led by the Holy Spirit, and let's say it from the positive thing. When you show up, then ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, here I am today. I'm going to work today. I'm asking for that anointing to accomplish the task. So when you have this act, feel, say in your back, in the background as a foundation, then the Holy Spirit can lead you through this process when he brings someone across your path. And it's wonderful to be able to see and to be used by God. Now this area of the enemy is very important. And as I said, we are not to be ignorant of the enemy's devices, because in the end time he's going to come in as an angel of light to deceive people, even the elect, the Christian, if that were possible. So we have to be very, very sensitized to that, to be able to discern the spirit, the discerning of spirits, so that we can, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, break the power of the enemy that is manifesting itself and all avenues of life that we see today. Our calling, Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord has come upon me, for he has anointed me. One of the things is to set the captive free. And so often the people are bound up that they can't hear, they can't see, they can't receive. because they're walking in deception. And as we minister to set the captive free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, God's love for them, to speak sight to the blind. There's many people that, I mean, he was not only talking about the physical sight, but the spiritual sight, to speak healing to the deaf, those who cannot hear, to unblock their ears physically, but more importantly, spiritually, to speak the ability to walk to the lame. There are many people who are crippled in life. Outwardly, they look fine and maybe even look successful. But they're crippled into the full potential that what God has for them. And as we recognize that behind these things, that there's a spirit of the enemy that is trying to rob, kill, and destroy, then what we do is we, through God's word, come to the understanding of who we are and what we can do about it, rather than sit back and just become POWs, prisoners of war, waiting for someone to set us free. Where the Lord says, I've called you to help set the captive free. And that manifests itself in many ways, but I guarantee you one thing that it does, it will always, is the manifestation of the love of God through you, with the anointing of the Lord that is able to break the yoke, the burden that these people are under, that are part of your, especially your sphere of influence, and to become God's instrument, to bring these people into the kingdom of God. For God so loved that person that he gave Jesus, his only son. And he said, whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Next week, God willing, I'm going to be dealing with defeating the powers of the enemy in the end times through your ministry. Very powerful. Once you understand these truths, there will be a confidence, and instead of so many people running away or fearful that something's loudly, we look with a confidence and saying, those that know their God shall be strong. In Daniel it says, 11, those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And then it goes on to say, those with understanding shall teach many. Amen? I'm hearing you say amen. Now, I'm hoping that you heard today that there were some truths that the Holy Spirit was speaking to the church, to you personally, and that you will use these truths as you move towards your destiny by way of your calling and your ministry. And I say amen in agreement with you. So would you bow with me as we close? Father, I thank you that you've gone before us to prepare a way. Thank you, Lord, that you've anointed and you've appointed us. And as we look around and see the things that are happening in the world and our nation today, Lord, you're downloading your heart so that we can move beyond our inadequacies or our fear of rejection or whatever it might be and say, no, this is the reason why I'm here on earth. I'll accomplish the tasks that are part of my working, but ultimately my objective is to see your kingdom established and to be an instrument in your hands. Lord, I release understanding to those that are listening. I release that anointing to allow them by the Holy Spirit to reach out and lay hold of these truths, that they are doers of the word. And that by your Holy Spirit, Father, that confidence is raised up. He says, because you've gone before us this week to prepare a way. And you've You've given every, you have provision ready for every one of those areas that we walk into. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your blessings upon my brother and my sister. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in their life. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to accomplish this week as we see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, while you're there, just lift your hands before the Lord. Let me pray the benediction. Father, I release that anointing right now. And I say, may the favor of the Lord rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. And I pray these things in agreement with you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.